Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hey, welcome to Fantasy Football Today on Tuesday, June 27th. We'll try something a little bit different today, but first, start your fantasy football league right by booking your draft party at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables at a special price only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. Sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Good afternoon, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hi,
hey.
Adam.
Hey, buddy.
What's up? All right. So we're doing something a little different.
I think 2 weeks out. You excited?
Come on. A little different here. No wedding talk. And yes, I'm excited. Jamie, this was a listener idea, right?
No, this is something that we've done for years on the site. Thanks
on
for
the
reading.
Site, but on the podcast. Was this a listener idea?
No, this is not a listener idea. This is something we've done for years on the site. Thanks for reading.
I know.
CBSSports.com, you can read many different things that we write.
We've got rankings. Uh-huh. We've got breakout sleepers and busts.
I finally figured it out. Adam thinks that we exist solely to come on the podcast with him for 1 hour a day.
Well, you've got to understand that Adam lives in his own bubble.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's about 12 by 9, maybe three 12 by 9 rooms. I don't know how big his kitchen is. There's a cat in that bubble.
Uh-huh. Yep, this is all true.
Anything that's outside of the bubble doesn't matter to Adam.
I'm the bubble boy. So what we're going to do is our pick-by-pick series, which apparently has been on the website for years now. And
yes.
We're going to go – Dave, Jamie, and Heath are going to draft every third pick of a 12-team, half-point PPR league. Only – I think we're doing 12 rounds, no kicker, no defense. And instead of, you know, what we usually do with the mock draft is we just kind of go make picks, whatever. This time we're going to really spend time on each team. Talk strategy, talk who's left on the board, and we're going to make this into a two-parter, by the way. So part one will be today. Dave has the first pick, the fourth pick, the seventh pick, and the tenth pick. Heath, 2, 5, 8, 11. Jamie has 4, 3, 6, 9, and 12. So make sense? Everybody good to go?
I'm so excited.
All right. Yeah, this
is. You hide it?
Good content on the website, so I'm sure it'll be good content on the podcast. Dave's going to take Le'Veon Bell first in a half-point PPR league. I assume we'll go through the first round a little bit quicker, but all right, so you had your pick of anybody. You went with Le'Veon Bell, half-point PPR, 12 teams. Tell me why.
I like the fact that he's going to catch a lot of passes, and I believe he's got the easiest schedule of anybody among the big three running backs. So David Johnson certainly is up there. He catches a ton of passes. He's got a tougher schedule. Ezekiel Elliott does not catch nearly as many passes. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, those guys don't get as many yards. So Le'Veon Bell, the no-brainer for me at number one overall.
Okay. He caught 75 passes last year, and that was obviously not in a full season. And of course, when Dave makes the pick for the fourth team, this probably goes without saying, but it has nothing to do with the first overall team. They are all drafting four different teams. Heath, you're on the clock with the second pick.
Yeah, this is an easy pick for me because I actually have David Johnson number one overall. So knowing that Dave was going to take Le'Veon Bell, I'd already plugged David Johnson in. They're both phenomenal picks. Like, there's a clear tier of the top three running backs with Johnson, Bell, and Elliott. But even within that, I feel like Johnson and Bell are, because of those receptions that we talked about, just a little bit out in front of them. Both Johnson and Bell coming off injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm less concerned about the risk for David Johnson than I am for Le'Veon Bell.
He's younger.
He's got a couple more injuries, and he's got that silly little off-the-field stuff as well, that one stupid thing for David Johnson may not be that big a deal. One stupid thing for Le'Veon Bell may mean your number one pick just disappeared.
And Jamie, you're going to take Ezekiel Elliott third?
Yes. He was actually the number two non-quarterback in PPR leagues last year. And I think he's still a candidate for 2,000 total yards, still a candidate for 15-plus touchdowns. And I also expect his receptions to come up from the low 30s to closer to mid-40s this year. So I'm still very excited about him in this format.
How close are you to taking Antonio Brown versus Ezekiel Elliott?
In a full-point PPR, I would take Antonio Brown.
I would too.
Half-point PPR and standard, I would take Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep.
All right, so the three running backs are the first three picks in this half-point PPR 12-team league. Let's go to the fourth team. Dave, gets a little interesting now. I guess not really that interesting. Who's going to be?
It's Antonio Brown, and I think you're going to see the next three picks, along with the previous three picks, be the same six guys in every single draft. Antonio Brown, just the model of consistency as far as receivers go, catches a ton of passes, does a great job in Pittsburgh. That offense continues to be great for fantasy, and I couldn't get my hands on one of the running backs. Not sure I would have taken Zeke over Antonio Brown anyway because catches count, but I'm happy to have Antonio Brown here, getting him in spot number four.
So you don't think that Zeke can be better than Brown for 2 years in a row?
I feel a lot more confident in Brown, knowing that track record for years and years versus Zeke for the 1 year, and it was an amazing year. I'm not sure he's going to get right back up to that same mark.
Okay. Team five is up. So we have Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown. Heath, you are team five.
This is kind of a tough decision. One of the few in the top six, because Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, both very good options. I went with Julio Jones. I can't, like, it's personal preference. I don't think there's a huge argument you can make in favor of either one of them. Julio's got the better quarterback. He's got less competition for targets. I mean, he put up 1,400 yards last year, and like most years, he was kind of hobbled. I just wonder if we see a season from Julio Jones where everything's just fine for 16 games. He may smash records.
So strange that Julio Jones only caught 83 passes last year when he was well over 100. In 2015, he had 136 catches. Went down to 83 last year. Not all of that is missed time. Is a potential tiebreaker in the Julio versus Beckham debate the fact that they just don't have anyone else to throw to? I mean, nobody like Brandon Marshall. They didn't invest in a tight end in the first round and a wide receiver in the second round the year before. I mean, the Giants have put a lot more draft picks and a lot more stock into their receiving core than the Falcons have. It's Julio Jones and a bunch of and true supporting cast members.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Jamie,
by the way, there were two games last year where Julio had two catches or fewer. There's another game where he only had three catches. And those have to be the outliers for him. A lot of the games he had last year, 5, 6, 7, he had some games with double digits in receptions. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you that.
Yeah.
I think he can improve on the 83, 14, 09, and 6 from last year.
All right, let's go to the sixth pick. Jamie Eisenberg, sixth pick.
Yeah, the obvious one. You take what's left. Odell Beckham, next.
All right, next, Dave.
Well, this is when things get interesting because you've got that big six at the top of every draft. The guy I like best next is Mike Evans. Okay. I think he'll continue to catch upwards of 80 balls. I think he's still going to be a red zone threat. I think defenses are going to have a hard time double teaming him. They did it last year. He was a monster. And I think Tampa Bay is going to throw the ball a ton. Mike Evans is my guy.
Do you think that, and this applies to you as well, if AJ Green plays 16 games, finishes on the pace that he was headed for,
where would he have finished in fantasy? Yeah, he would have been top
five. He would have led the NFL in catches and yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have finished, I don't know. With
I'll do it right now. Go ahead.
It was 117 catches, 1,700 yards, and 7 touchdowns was the pace he was on.
Mm-hmm.
You'd still take Evans here?
He'd get more touchdowns. He'd probably fall under the yardage and the catches, but he'd make up for it in touchdowns, I think.
See, I've got Green ahead of Evans just for that reason in PPR.
And it's close.
I have him ahead in both. I think the touchdowns come down for Evans just because of the additional weaponry around him. And Green, even with Eifert back, hopefully, and the addition of John Ross, if he's healthy, I don't think AJ Green gets less than 7 touchdowns.
Yeah,
Evans will
7
score
is easy. The question
Evans
is
will
get
score
to
more.
10.
I mean, that's typically been the number he's been around.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, though, he's got the potential for 100 catches. I don't see Evans getting 100 catches with those guys.
The beautiful thing for both of those receivers is that they both have a speed element opposite them now, and it's going to force defenses
potentially
to make some choices. I think both of them could have monster years.
Well, I hope so if they're going to be top 7 picks. A.J. Green, if you take his production in 10 games, give him 16 games, he would have been the number 5 wide receiver in fantasy and standard scoring. PPR maybe a little bit different, but I don't think so.
He would have been there because he would have led the NFL in catches.
Yeah, he probably would have been top 3.
Right, but I don't know in a half-point PPR. Well, how many catches do you know?
117.
It would have been almost even with Beckham because he would have in fact had tied with Beckham. We've had 16 more catches and the same amount of fantasy points. So tied for number 4 in half-point PPR. And that leads me to this. Half-point PPR, I want to look at your rankings actually right now. We're not doing this in a draft room, so I want to see who's still available. Should I be looking at standard scoring or PPR rankings?
I use PPR.
Me too.
I go back and forth depending on the player I'm considering.
All right. I kept saying half-point PPR. I apologize. Half PPR, 0.5 PPR, whatever we want to say. So let's recap here. Bell, David Johnson, Zeke, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Heath, you're taking 8th overall.
AJ Green. Yeah, I would have taken him at 7th. I think you can make an argument if he stays healthy last year for him over Odell Beckham.
Okay, number 9, Jamie Eisenberg.
I'm going to take LeSean McCoy. I think he's the 4th best running back. He's got one more year of great production left in him at least. I like the addition of the 2 fullbacks in Buffalo. I like the fact that Tyrod Taylor is back because running quarterbacks really help running backs as well. And McCoy, 50 catches last year. They're talking about using him more as a receiver this year, which I would expect. So his value, I think, in any PPR format makes him the easy choice here.
Do you also have LeSean McCoy as your number 4 running back in standard?
Yes.
Okay. Team number 10 is Dave Richards.
No love for Melvin Gordon, so I'll give him some love. I think he's better than LeSean McCoy. I like that he's younger. Caught 41 passes last year. He has 70 catches over 2 seasons in the NFL. And, yeah, you know, rushing average isn't what you want it to be. You take a look at what he did in his final full 5 games last season. Had a bunch of games, 4 of them with at least 4 yards per carry. Averaged 4.7 in those games. Couple of touchdowns, almost 700 yards in those games. The guy's a beast. He's going to catch plenty of passes. And his offensive line's good. His offense is going to be great. He's going to work the goal line. I think he's better than LeSean McCoy this year.
Okay, so you have Melvin Gordon going with the 10th overall pick. Now, this is a half PPR league. We're starting 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs, tight end, flex, 1 quarterback. We are not going. We'll draft some bench players, but we're not going to draft kickers and defenses. We'll do 12 rounds.
Yes.
So Jamie at number 9, Dave at number 10. You went with running backs. You could with only five wide receivers off the board. You maybe run the risk of not getting any of the top 8 wide receivers with team 9 and team 10. So give me your thought process, or should we play it out? Maybe we'll play it out to get back to the team 9 and team 10. So team 9 takes McCoy. Team 10 takes Gordon. Team 11 is Heath. 11! Stranger Things reference. Okay, now you can go, Heath.
I don't know what that means.
Watch Stranger Things.
I've never seen one episode of Stranger Things.
You should.
But I did take T.Y. Hilton with the 11th pick and led the NFL yards last year, 91 receptions. I don't see his production going down in 2017, if anything. I think there's going to be a year where T.Y. Hilton – let's just put it this way. I don't believe T.Y. Hilton has set his career high for touchdowns yet.
I don't think so either.
But he may have set his career high for yards.
He could have. But he had 1,345 in 15 games just 2 years ago as well.
I'm fine with that pick as long as Andrew Luck's healthy. And for now, it's safe to assume. Go ahead and figure that he will be. But if mid-August rolls around and Luck still isn't in training camp for the Colts and there's question marks about him, I don't know if I'm taking Luck with the first round. Or Hilton, rather.
Yeah. Heath, I don't love it. I don't love it because it's half PPR, and I don't think he's a guy who excels in catches. He had 91 last year.
He was amazing at it last year.
Career high. But
he had 91, but he doesn't excel.
No, that's not. I mean, that's not like – that's not going to –
I don't think it's normal for him.
That's not – first of all, that's a career high. That's number one. Secondly, that's not going to separate him from the elite receivers that are also going in this range necessarily.
But I just heard Heath say he thinks his touchdowns are going to go up.
I think it's –
I said catches. Catches. Like,
the next 2 guys are Jordy Nelson and Dez Bryant, both elite wide receivers. I would expect T.Y. Hilton will have more catches than either of those 2.
Okay. The other thing is the touchdowns might kind of be a little dependent on Dante Moncrief. You know, he steals touchdowns from him all the time.
Yeah, but Moncrief scored 7 last year. I don't think that's going up dramatically.
How many games? He missed a lot of games.
Sure, but to ask him to, you know, be as productive a touchdown scorer as he was in the amount of receptions he had with 33 catches and 7 touchdowns, that's a lot ask for him to repeat.
I'm going to give a shout out to somebody on Twitter because they posted an article and I almost just sent it to you because it says what I've tried to say on the podcast a lot of times. It's TJ Hernandez. And it was looking at wide receiver numbers from year to year and what they say stickiest. What will, if you look at these numbers from last year, what's the most likely to repeat itself moving forward? Touchdowns are by far less sticky than targets, yards, receptions.
Well, this is breaking news, of course. But I think the thing is, when you look at Hilton and Moncrief, when Moncrief is on the field, he is Andrew Luck's red zone guy.
But you are saying that those touchdowns are sticky, and it's just always going to be that way.
I buy it more in that scenario.
Like, don't say this is breaking news and then completely contradict it in the very next sentence because of this one instance.
Yeah, but
every
team, every player is case by case. I mean, you know, maybe as a blanket, obviously targets and catches are easy to replicate year over year.
Right.
When there's a large enough sample size. I don't think we've seen enough from Dante Moncrief to say this is who he is. My opinion.
There's an article that Jason Lockenfora wrote where he talks about 7 breakout candidates this year, not for fantasy purposes. One of them is Moncrief. I want to talk about that at some point. And I just want to say, T.Y. Hilton caught 6 touchdowns last year. 4 of them came in games that Dante Moncrief missed. I'm not going to keep piling on you, Heath. It's a perfectly good pick. I'm sorry. I just wanted to bring that all up. Because you did take him over Jordy Nelson and Dez Bryant, and those are the next 2 picks. Jamie with Team 12 has the swing picks, and you're going receiver, Jordy and Dez.
It's too easy. I mean, Jordy and Dez Bryant still being on the board in any PPR format, to have them still sitting there. I like them better than T.Y. Hilton. Not by much, but I think there's more upside. Jordy, we saw it last year. Dez, I think, is going to be back to 100%, as we saw in the playoff game. So I think those are easy selections at this spot.
Okay, let's go to the second pick of round 2 to Heath, who has T.Y. Hilton on this team, and your second pick for the T.Y. Hilton team.
The only anxiety I had about taking T.Y. Hilton is I've really gotten to the point where I don't like necessarily starting wide receiver towards the end of the draft just because of the uncertainty at the 3-4 turn. So I was very happy Devontae Freeman fell to me. I think I'd take Jordy and Dez over him too, but I think starting with Hilton and Freeman's going to give me a lot more flexibility later.
And I think that's what you're going to see from most fantasy owners this year. One wide receiver and one running back with their first 2 picks.
And I don't mind the wide receiver as much in the middle or at the beginning, because at the top of the 3rd round, there's some running backs there that I'm okay with.
Yeah, but there's some receivers that are there
that
you may or may not be okay with. It's definitely something to keep in mind when everybody listening does their first mock draft. Think about the players that are going to be there in rounds 3 and rounds 4. If you hate the running backs that are left, then you know you got to get at least one with your first 2 picks.
Now, I know that it might get a little annoying, but I'm going to do a lot of repeating because it's hard to remember, obviously, everybody who's off the board. So round 1 was Le'Veon, David Johnson, Zeke, Brown, Julio, Beckham, Evans, Green, LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, T.Y. Hilton, Jordy Nelson. The Jordy Nelson team, Team 12, drafted by Jamie, has Dez Bryant as its second pick, Jordy and Dez. Team 11 is Heath, T.Y. Hilton, and Devontae Freeman. Now we're back to Teams 9 and 10, or 10 and 9 in this case. Dave has Team 10. He took Melvin Gordon in the 1st round. Jamie has Team 9. He took LeSean McCoy in the 1st round. The top 8 wide receivers are off the board. So with the 10th pick, Dave, with Melvin Gordon on your team, who are you taking?
I took Michael Thomas. And again, a receiver and a running back with my first 2 picks. I like it when I don't have to be forced into taking 2 at the same position. And I knew that when I took Melvin Gordon at 10, one of the big remaining 4 wide receivers of Hilton, Jordy, Dez, and Michael Thomas would make it back to me. And if all 4 of them were taken, then it just would have meant me taking Devontae Freeman, and then I would have settled on back-to-back running backs to begin my draft.
Interesting.
I'm excited about Michael Thomas. I think he's a great number 1 fantasy receiver. Right.
So you're tiering him with Jordy and Dez.
I mean, he's behind them in my rankings, but he's in that same group.
Right. All right, so Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas to Team 10. Team 9, the 9th overall pick was LeSean McCoy. Jamie, who are you taking?
Full point PPR, I would take Amari Cooper here. Half point PPR, I'm taking Jordan Howard. I buy into Howard doing what he did a year ago. I think he's a special talent in an undesirable situation. But I still think there's enough around him, good enough offensive line, at least as good, if not better, quarterback play coming. Hopefully Kevin White is healthy to make this receiving core better. I think Adam Shaheen at tight end will be an improvement over an injured Zach Miller. So I would not be surprised if the Bears offense is moderately better. But Howard, I think, will catch enough passes, do enough in half-point PPR format that I'm not afraid to start running back with LeSean McCoy and Jordan Howard.
All right, Team 9 has 2 running backs, McCoy and Howard. We had another article on our website on cbssports.com/NFL about Jordan Howard, saying that basically the advanced metrics on Jordan Howard are very, very encouraging, And there's a lot of reason to think he really had just as good of a year as Ezekiel Elliott. I won't spoil it. You should read the story. But also the interior of the Bears' offensive line is their strength. And Jordan Howard was great in between the tackles. So it was a cool article. Made me a little bit more of a believer. All right, Heath, you had the eighth pick. You took A.J. Green. Jordan Howard's off the board. Michael Thomas off the board. Who's going to be the fifth pick of round two?
Well, Jamie just mentioned him. I'm going to go with Amari Cooper. I think he has a chance of the guys that did not finish in the top 10 last year to make the biggest leap. And again, it really just, like, you look at what he's done in his first 2 years in the league, 150 receptions, 2,200 receiving yards. He's the fourth receiver ever to do that. A.J. Green, Odell Beckham, Marcus Colston, and Amari Cooper. The one difference with Cooper and why he hasn't got the accolades that Green and Beckham did their first 2 years is he hasn't scored the touchdowns.
It's kind of a problem.
Those guys scored 19 and 18 touchdowns. He scored 11 in those 2 years. I just don't know that that's enough to say that he's just not going to score touchdowns.
Okay.
Do you fear at all that we get another year, three in a row, of Crabtree getting more targets? Because I think that's been the biggest detractor for him, aside from the touchdowns. Because he just hasn't been the number one guy on his team. I mean, he's been great. You just illustrated how great he's been.
Right.
But Crabtree, for whatever reason, still is the favorite of Derek Carr, based on the numbers. And the addition now of Jared Cook, for whatever he offers, forget about his fantasy value to fantasy, forget his value to fantasy owners, his value to the Raiders, plus Marshawn Lynch, I don't know if those touchdowns have the chance to take the leap that we're all hoping for in his third season.
Well, let me jump in, and instead of talking about just Cooper, you have A.J. Green on this team. That was the first round pick, pick eight. Were you thinking about going running back there? Jordan Howard was the previous pick. Devontae Freeman was off the board. You had guys like Jay Ajayi, Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, DeMarco Murray still on the board. Were you thinking about going running back there with the fifth pick of round two?
I thought about DeMarco Murray a lot, but I've got more concern over what's going to happen with Murray this year than I do with Cooper.
Okay. So far, through five picks in round two, we have two teams with two wide receivers, Jordy and Dez and Green and Cooper, and we have a LeSean McCoy, Jordan Howard team, two running backs. Let's go to team seven that took Mike Evans in round one. Dave, this is your pick.
I was happy that Heath did not take a running back, because that would have meant taking DeMarco Murray. I don't have any problem taking DeMarco Murray. I think he's still going to finish as a top 12 fantasy running back. Lots of opportunities for him, and he catches the ball a bunch. So pairing him with Mike Evans gives me a nice start to my fantasy.
How much are you guys thinking about round three at this point, as we're midway through round two, and we've done so many drafts, we know who typically comes off the board. You know, you're talking about running backs like Christian McCaffrey and Joe Mixon and Isaiah Crowell. You're talking about wide receivers like Terrell Pryor and Sammy Watkins and Allen Robinson. Are you looking ahead at this point, or are you just concerned about getting the best player available?
I certainly did with the two running backs, knowing the receivers that will be available to me in round three. So with team number nine, it was certainly on my mind, knowing we've done this exercise already twice. You know, so I obviously have an idea of who my colleagues are going to take, or at least the players that should be available to me once those guys come off the board. We did this order differently. I picked first in the other two drafts. Dave picked second. Heath picked third. So the ones you're reading on the site, you'll see those two orders the same. So it'll be a little bit different, but I know the range of players that will be available to me. So in rounds three and round four, I still think I can get good wide receivers for that particular team. That's the only one really where I looked ahead when I made the Jordan Howard selection.
Sorry to cut you off there. You're aware of the running backs that are left in rounds three and four, too.
They're not LeSean McCoy and Jordan Howard.
Okay.
And they're not that good. I mean, like early round four in a 12-team league and our drafts has been a bit of a dead zone for running backs. It's like Mark Ingram, maybe. That's when I was taking Amir Abdullah, and then I realized, no, that's way too early. It's almost like we wait until the end of round four, beginning of round five, and then we go on this running back run. So the way things have been shaking out in a standard or half PPR league, are you more likely to go running back than receiver, receiver?
No.
For the right players, yes. More likely, no. Sorry, to answer your question, no.
With a pick eight or later, not early first round, but later first round.
No, I still want to get one of those Jordy, Dez, Hilton, Michael Thomas, Samari Cooper receivers.
Okay. Yeah, I cut it off really in standard or half PPR at Thomas. In PPR, I would put Cooper in that group.
All right, so sorry I slowed us down a little bit. Picks one through five here in round two are Dez Bryant, Devontae Freeman, Michael Thomas, Jordan Howard, Amari Cooper. And then the sixth pick was DeMarco Murray. Jamie, with the with Team 6, the Odell Beckham team, who's the second-round pick?
Rob Gronkowski. I know it's a little bit risky, but I also know what he does when he's healthy. And prior to last year, when he was limited to 8 games with the back injury, he played 15 games each of the 2 previous years. He's 27 years old. He's not old by any standards. He's certainly, you know, injury prone, as he's shown. But I still think when he's healthy, and, you know, even with the addition of Brandon Cooks and Dwayne Allen and Rex Burkhead and Mike Gillisley and all those guys, Brady's not going away from Gronkowski enough for me to worry about him. So I don't love the receiver. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to take a receiver at this spot. They're fine. Baldwin, Hopkins, Watkins, Landry, Adams, Pryor, however you want to rank those guys, they're fine. But when Gronk is Gronk, he's a first-round pick. So okay, to get him middle of the second round, I'm fine with that.
Team 5 has Julio Jones, half PPR. Julio Jones was the first-round pick for Team 5. Heath, you're on the clock.
This is where I really started thinking about round 3. I thought about it a little with one of those earlier picks when I was talking about not necessarily wanted to start wide receiver, but here I really thought hard about one of these running backs, but you know those first 3 teams all took running backs to start. And I would expect that most people are going to take at least one wide receiver, maybe 2 with their next pick. So I went with the only guaranteed top 10 wide receiver left, Doug Baldwin.
Okay. All right, so you go with Baldwin ahead of the running backs. How many running backs are still on the board at this point? Let me read who's off the board. But you tell me, Heath, how many running backs are still on the board that you'd be happy with in round 3, which is like 10 picks away? Le'Veon, David Johnson, Zeke, McCoy, Melvin Gordon. They were in the first round. Devontae Freeman, Jordan Howard, and DeMarco Murray are off the board. So that's 8 running backs. So who's left on the board that you're taking Baldwin thinking, I hope I get one of these guys in round 3?
There's 5 guys. A couple of them I know there's no way they're making it to me, Leonard Fournette and Jay Ajayi. But Gurley, Lamar Miller, Isaiah Crowell, I'm fine with those guys in the middle of round 3.
Okay, let's go to Team 4. Team 4 has Antonio Brown in round 1. Dave, who are you taking in round 2?
I know that I'm not as optimistic about the running backs making it back to me as Heath is. I'm far more optimistic about the receivers, so I'm looking straight in the running back group, and Leonard Fournette's there. I don't know if Fournette's going to catch any more than 30 balls this year.
I'll take the under.
But I think he'll get a ton of yards and a lot of carries and a lot of touchdowns to go along with it. Don't mind taking him in late round 2 at all.
What if this had been full PPR?
Same exact pick.
Okay. So Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette is a nice-looking team at Team 4. Team 3, Jamie, you took Ezekiel Elliott in the first round. Who's the second round?
J.J. I buy into, there's a report from ESPN that he has got 1,900 total yard potential and 12 touchdowns. I don't think he'll be that good, but he's shown when his offensive line was healthy last year. 4 of his best games came when Mike Pouncey was on the field. If Pouncey plays 16 games, Ajayi should be a monster because that's still going to be a great offensive line. He's worked out. He's worked on his pass catching ability. So what he showed last year, I believe, was 27 catches. I think that has a chance to go into the 40s. And so remember, he didn't play early in the season. He didn't, you know, get started until the Arian Foster mess was over. So I really love Ajayi's upside. So I like him better than Fournette. I like him better than DeMarco Murray. So I almost feel like it's a steal to get him at the back end of the second round.
Okay, last few picks have been Gronkowski, Baldwin, Fournette, Ajayi. 2 picks left in round 2. Heath has Team 2, David Johnson in the first round, and second round, Heath.
Very nervous about this pick because I've got Dave in between me and my next pick. With anybody else, I would assume I know a running back's going to fall, but I wouldn't put it past Dave to take 3 straight running backs. But I went with DeAndre Hopkins anyway. Might as well shoot for the moon. Tom Savage is better than Brock Osweiler. Maybe Deshaun Watson starts half the games, and he's better than either one of them. Hopkins should be back to being a number 1 wide receiver.
David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins. Now remember, Heath, both same philosophy with Team 5 and Team 2. You're looking at sort of the running backs that might go off the board before your third pick. And so far, Fournette went, Ajayi went, and you just took DeAndre Hopkins with the second-to-last pick of round 2. Dave, finish off round 2 and start round 3 for us with the Le'Veon Bell team, half PPR.
Well, my thinking, I've got back-to-back picks here. My thinking is that I've got a stud running back. Unless another stud running back that I feel good about makes it back to me, I'm targeting 2 receivers. And it just so happens that the last 2 receivers in my top 24 overall were still on the board. It's Devonta Adams and Demaryius Thomas. The double Ds at wide receiver, catching passes for my fantasy team. Le'Veon Bell doing a lot of work as well. I think this is a great way to kind of craft if you've got the number one pick. You know you're going to get a stud running back right off the bat, and you go with back-to-back receivers in rounds two and three. I think this is how you start a team in any type of PPR format.
Okay, and do you have an idea of which running backs you might be considering in rounds five and six? This, not to say that you have to take two running backs there, but
who... No, I don't have to take two running backs, but it's probably going to be what happens. I think there's a chance that Carlos Hyde could make it back there. I'm pretty sure somebody like Dalvin Cook could end up making it back there. Hopefully, there'll be some other running backs that are better than Marshawn Lynch or Ty Montgomery or Danny Woodhead that make it back that far.
Okay. Well, there should be. So
I am going to target at least one running back with those next two picks in rounds four and five.
All right. Team one has Le'Veon Bell, Devonta Adams, and Demaryius Thomas. Let's see what Heath is going to do with team two, which took David Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins with its first two picks. Johnson and Hopkins. First, though, Buffalo Wild Wings, everybody. Buffalo Wild Wings understands that being a fantasy football league manager is a tough job. So it's important to get a good first impression, which all starts with the draft. If you want your league to love you, it's pretty important for a league manager, right? You want, like, not like me, everybody hates me, but you want your league to love you. Book your draft party at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a special draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables for a special price to feed your league. Come in and get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. That's wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. This is a really good idea. I have actually never done this, but I remember being in a restaurant like 10 years ago and seeing people do a fantasy football draft at a restaurant. I said, damn, I wish I could do that. My problem is I'm drafting with people all over the country. But if you're with your friends, go to Buffalo Wild Wings and get hooked up, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Let's back to the draft now. David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins for team two. Heath, round three.
Man, you guys would have loved this team with the 2016 fantasy football draft.
You would have never been able to put together this team in a 2016 draft.
I said I was shooting for the moon. Gurley's going to be better than he was in 2016. Rams should be slightly improved. And even if he's not, I like him in the third round.
You could have gone with Terrell Pryor, Allen Robinson, Watkins. Why'd you go with Gurley?
Because I want to get that second running back right now. I don't want to wait until the end of the fourth round.
Okay. Jamie of Team 3, which has two running backs, Ezekiel Elliott and Jay Ajayi.
Yep. I love the way this worked out because I think Sammy Watkins is going to have a monster season. He's able to take part in minicamp, which is a great sign. We've seen receivers like Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, Julian Edelman come back from the second foot procedure and play just as good as they were before getting hurt. So I expect Sammy Watkins to hopefully stay healthy for 16 games, as we saw at the end of the 2015 season when he closed the year just playing as an absolute monster. So the fact that the contract situation is now dangling in front of him, Tyrod Taylor's back. This is an offense that has done a nice job featuring number one receivers in the past. And I think you'll see Sammy Watkins when we look back on it say, why didn't we take him in round two?
Team one has Le'Veon Bell, Devonta Adams, and Demaryius Thomas. Team two has two running backs and a receiver, David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Todd Gurley. And team three has two running backs and a receiver, Ezekiel Elliott, Jay Ajayi, and Sammy Watkins. Should we compare teams two and team three? Because they both went with two running backs and a receiver, but in different orders. So it's Johnson, Gurley, and Hopkins, Elliott, Ajayi, and Watkins. Dave, you did not pick either of these teams. Which one do you like better?
I like Elliott, Ajayi, and Watkins better. And I'm not the biggest Watkins guy, but I like the points that Jamie makes about him. The fact that he's healthy now is good. I think the direction for the Buffalo offense is going to be better than what it's been the past couple of years. But you know what the risk is with Sammy. If he, you know, tweaks his foot or some other part of his body, bam, he's out for X amount of games and you can't use him.
Yeah.
Also not as bullish on Ajayi as the ESPN report or whatever it was, 1,900 total yards and 12 touchdowns. I don't think he's getting that high. I think he'll be good. I think he's going to finish as a top 12 fantasy running back. And I don't know if I can say the same for Gurley. I'm a little nervous about him. So I just think the core of Jamie's team is a little bit better than the core piece.
Wrong, Dave.
Sorry.
I think they're very, very similar because you've
course,
got two very sure things.
And what are the sure things on your team?
Well, we've got Johnson and Elliott are the two sure things.
Oh, I
Hopkins and Watkins both have top seven, top eight wide receiver potential and have both looked injured or terrible at times. And then Ajayi and Gurley both have elite potential and both have serious question marks. Ajayi had three games with 200 yards last year and eight games under 60. And
how many games did Gurley have with 80 yards last year?
I do not have that number.
Okay. Like, that's what I'm worried about is that the Rams didn't do enough to help Todd Gurley out.
I understand.
The Dolphins already have a lot in place to help Ajayi.
Jay Ajayi had those elite games when the offensive line was all together. We know that offensive line's not together this year. One of them's already left.
Well, that could be an upgrade, though.
It could be, but we don't know for sure that it is. And I don't know why we would expect that Pouncey's going to play 16 games.
If you had to pick between Gurley and Ajayi, just in a vacuum.
No, I take Ajayi over Gurley.
Yeah, right. So I think the situation surrounding...
I mean, they're basically a push.
I don't see it that way. And Jamie, do you see it that way, or do you have Ajayi ahead of Gurley?
No, I have Ajayi ahead of DeMarco Murray and Leonard Fournette, but I think Ajayi's upside in his situation is better than Gurley's
situation.
That's
what it comes down to.
I also think that if you were to tell anybody, and Keith, you'd be the one to answer this because you took Hopkins. If you were to say Sammy Watkins is playing 16 games,
right,
and in his situation, and DeAndre Hopkins in his situation, I'm taking Watkins 10 out of 10.
Me too. See, I'm not taking him 10 out of 10 because I'm not sure Sammy Watkins can do what DeAndre Hopkins did just 1 year ago.
Right, but
I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins.
But Tyrod Taylor's ability is leaps and bounds better than what DeAndre Hopkins is dealing with.
That I agree with,
and that's the bottom line for me.
I think the offense is a great fit for Tyrod. I really do.
All right, let's move on. So team three, Ezekiel Elliott, Jay Ajayi, Sammy Watkins. Team four is Dave's, and in this half PPR league, Dave, you have Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette. Third round pick.
Was Terrell Pryor, and I'm buying into Pryor as being a great receiver for fantasy this year. I think Washington's going to end up throwing a ton. I think they'll be in a lot of high-scoring games. Kirk Cousins has proven that he can turn DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon into 1,000-yard receivers. He can definitely do it with Pryor. Pryor's been working hard this offseason. He's been posting on all of his social media, all the drills and whatnot that he's doing. I think he's rounding into shape as being a great receiver in the NFL, and he's giving Cousins a target that he really quite hasn't had at wide receiver yet in his career. Physical outside guy, who's fast. Can't quite say that Cousins has had a target like that.
Do you worry about it all that there's two reports this week from two different beat writers that have said Jameson Crowder is going to be their best receiver?
No, I don't. Because I don't think Crowder is going to suck up all the targets. I think he's a great slot receiver.
Let me qualify. I'll say what they said, at least the one today, that he's going to lead the team. Crowder will lead the team in targets, if not Jordan Reed, that Pryor will be third. Because
wow.
I think that's realistic. I think Pryor's yards will be better.
Is Jordan Reed playing 16 games?
Is Terrell Pryor playing 16 games? Means anybody playing 16 games?
I feel better about Terrell Pryor playing 16 games than I do Jordan Reed. I feel like Crowder. Look, I've watched you, Jamie, all offseason buy into Jameson Crowder, and I get it because he's good. But he's not he's not a burner like Terrell Pryor.
Oh, I don't disagree with any
of that. And I think in a PPR format, and he might be gone already. I don't know how far we've gone here into the next couple of rounds. We've kind of drafted ahead of where we're at on the podcast. But I know he's going to go before I would take him, and I totally get it. What did you say, 100 target? No, he's going to get more than 100
targets.
Oh, no.
He had 98 last year. He'll be in this group of guys.
He had 98 targets last year. He's going to blow past that.
I would not be surprised if I agree with these reports that he will lead the team in targets because of how – I mean, DeSean Jackson was the better receiver last year.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre Garçon led them in targets. It's an offense that will matriculate targets to different guys. You know, and so you'll see the offense run through Jordan Reed. That's what Jay Gruden wants to do. You'll see the offense still feature Terrell Pryor. But I think in terms of who is being focused on the most – in that passing game,
Crowder over those two?
I think
in terms of the word targets.
I think Crowder will lead them in targets.
Yes.
Pryor will have more fantasy points than Crowder does. But Pryor will have less fantasy points than maybe four receivers that are taken later in this round.
All right. Let's move on. Team four is Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, and Terrell Pryor. Team 5 has Julio Jones and Doug Baldwin. So this was the team we talked about, Heath, where you said there were five running backs that you still were hoping would fall to you in round three, and two of them did. So who are you taking? Julio Jones, Doug Baldwin, and?
Lamar Miller. And this, I like, we argued team 2 or team 3. I like this team better than I like my team 2 for sure. this, I think the 5th or 6th pick is just so awesome, because I get Julio Jones. I guess I obviously like Doug Baldwin more than everyone else, but I get basically the last number one running back, in my opinion, Lamar Miller. I could not be more pleased with those three.
Cool. So that's Julio Jones, Doug Baldwin, and Lamar Miller, which he likes better than team two that Heath is also drafting, which is David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Todd Gurley. Team 6 is interesting. Odell Beckham, and then one of the first, you know, debatable, not really, but different picks is Rob Gronkowski in round 2.
Oh, it's debatable. Sure.
It's earlier than we usually see him go. So who is the Odell Beckham, Rob Gronkowski team taking in round 3?
I'm taking a guy that is tied with the teammate that he played with in college, the teammate that's on his current fantasy team, at number 6, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham in the first 3 years of their career, NFL record receptions with 288. And Jarvis Landry in the first 3 years of his career has averaged 94 catches, I believe it is. He's coming off a 1,000-yard season. He's in a contract year. And if the touchdowns go up, you know, Heath talks about T.Y. Hilton, his potential for touchdowns to go up. If Jarvis Landry can get to 6 touchdowns, he's a top 10 wide receiver. He's been a top 15 guy in PPR each of the last 2 years. And so I love the outlook for Devontae Parker. I think Julius Thomas will still prove to be a decent, you know, tight end for fantasy and reality. But Jarvis Landry's the go-to guy for Ryan Tannehill. He's a go-to guy for Matt Moore, depending on whoever ends up playing quarterback there. Adam Gase is still going to lean on him. He's a PPR stud.
Are you interested in knowing how many targets he had last year in the red zone?
Sure.
9. Which is stunning.
That's not a lot.
It is stunning to me that Jarvis Landry couldn't come up with more than that.
What was it inside the 10?
4 targets. No touchdowns.
Very low. 4 touchdowns
very low
last year for Landry.
And here's what we need to go back and watch the film to see. Is it a byproduct of teams taking away Jarvis Landry because they know that he's a big-time target of Ryan Tannehill, or is it a byproduct of having Jay Ajayi back there, and they just clog it in there with Ajayi?
Yeah, or is it a byproduct of being... I mean, he's not short. He's 5'11". He's not a big target.
Dude, when you're... Height almost doesn't matter as much if you're a good route runner down there.
Yeah. All right, well, Jarvis Landry, that's... I think the earliest I've seen him go, that's middle of round 3. Team 7, Mike Evans, DeMarco Murray, and Dave Richard. Who are you taking with Mike Evans and DeMarco Murray?
I see the running back talent falling off, so I grab Isaiah Crowell before I have to face a difficult decision in round 4. So there are receivers that I don't mind there. There's Alshon Jeffrey, there's Michael Crabtree, there's Allen Robinson. That's too soon for any of the other tight ends. I go ahead and take Crowell.
I don't love this spot in the draft.
I like the Crowell pick. I don't like anything after it. Running back.
No,
after Crowell, it feels like there's a drop off.
It just feels like right now.
But why reach?
Well, who else would you take?
You like Crowell. I'm not saying that's reach.
Yeah, I don't think he's a reach.
Like, why reach if you don't like running back?
Well, because he knows that he won't make it back to him. That's what.
Well, let's go to the team eight.
Teammate took Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, A.J. Green, Amari Cooper, and Heath took Christian McCaffrey in round 3 to go with A.J. Green and Amari Cooper. So Crowell and McCaffrey are the last two off the board. This is personally when I start thinking about quarterback.
I can't really say that I did. I strongly considered Allen Robinson. I strongly considered Travis Kelce. Listen, I don't know that there's going to be a lot of difference between McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette in PPR this year. In half-point PPR, I'd give an edge to Fournette. Mm-hmm. But in PPR, I think there's a chance that McCaffrey outscores him. There's a ton of upside with this pick. I think he'll get all the touches he can handle.
Okay. What do you think is a fair projection for McCaffrey? Because this is what I've wrestled with. Both total yardage, so take the rushing receiving, put it in one number, and catches. Let's not even think about the touchdowns, because that's really where I'm the most nervous about McCaffrey.
If he gets to 6, he'll be okay.
I'm thinking he gets 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And 4 of them could come as a receiver.
Sure.
But is he going to get enough work as a rusher to, how about get to 1,100 total yards.
950 to 1,000 yards.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Six touchdowns.
This is a great mystery.
And how many
40
catches?
To 50 catches.
See, I would actually give him more catches.
If you give him more catches, then I think he gets more yards.
Yeah, the number I would look for is 50. If he gets to 50, he's in good shape.
Okay.
This is
I would put him
here.
At higher than that, like 60.
Then he should go in the second round.
Then he's going to be a stud.
But I don't know if the touchdowns are going to be there, and
doesn't
I don't
matter.
Know if the yardage is going to be great, because a lot of those catches are going to come within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but he's, in college, shown to be great in space. And so if they're getting him out in space.
That's what they're going to do
yeah,
with him
then,
and Samuel.
Then he should be fantastic.
There's a story on Panthers.com that I haven't read about, haven't read it yet, but it's about how Cam is, just the gist of it I read is that Cam is learning to start to trust other players on his team. And I think
that's what Ron Rivera
insight.
Said at the owners meeting. He's got to be less involved.
Right. And I think everything they've done in the draft is evidence of what they're going to do.
Okay. Sorry. So I'm just going to speed us along here. We are moving around in round three up to the ninth pick. Team eight has AJ Green, Amari Cooper, and Christian McCaffrey. Team nine is Jamie team went running back, LeSean McCoy and Jordan Howard. Round three, Jamie.
Worked out great. I don't really love the Jaguars passing game this year with the addition of Fournette and what they're talking about limiting Blake Bortles, but to get Allen Robinson late in round third in the third round, that's stealing. So
okay.
I appreciate the ability to let him fall. Thank you guys. And so Robinson will be nowhere as good as he was 2 years ago, but certainly much better than he was last year, especially a potential contract year.
Okay. Allen Robinson to go with McCoy and Jordan Howard. There's no chance you were going to go three running backs, right?
No, there's nobody here to take. That's what I'm saying. There's no
yeah.
reason to reach.
But let's say Crowell or
no, I still would have taken Allen Robinson.
All right. Team 10 is a Dave team. Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas in rounds 1 and 2. Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas. What are you doing in round 3?
I took Alshon Jeffrey, and it's starting to become a close call between Alshon Jeffrey and Travis Kelce. The more I think about Kelce, especially in leagues where catches count, I think he could end up being just beastly. But I think Alshon, provided that he's healthy and he has been, definitely has potential for 80 catches, over 1,000 yards, plenty of touchdowns. In what I think is a pretty varied Philadelphia offense, Carson Wentz is going to have a lot of targets to throw to, and Alshon's going to be his best one.
Okay, so we are now 10 picks into round 3. Melvin Gordon, Michael Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey is team 10. Team 11 is Heath's. He took T.Y. Hilton and then Devontae Freeman. This is half PPR. So he's got those catches from his running back, T.Y. Hilton and Devontae Freeman. So with the second to last pick of round 3, Heath, who's it going to be?
Dave just mentioned him. Travis Kelce has moved up not my tight end rankings, because there's really nowhere for him to go. He's going to stay quite a ways behind Gronk, but still at number 2. But he's moved up my overall rankings, just especially in this format, because of the stability that he gives you. And this is the point in the draft, like you said, where you start thinking quarterbacks and tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
I may get another one in just a second.
And no quarterbacks are off the board yet through 35 picks. Let's go to pick number 36 to a team that has two wide receivers, Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant. Jordy Nelson and Dez Bryant. All right, Jamie, going running back here?
Nope. Again, no reason to reach. Nobody on the draft board that I think is worth the selection. So we have to start a flex. I'll pick my flex here. We have to start a tight end. I'll pick my tight end here. Michael Crabtree to end the third round. Jordan Reed to start the fourth round.
Ooh, wow. So no running backs in Team 12's lineup through 4 picks. Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, Michael Crabtree, and Jordan Reed. And not only are there no running backs on this team, you're not picking again for another 24 picks, or with 22 picks, I guess.
Difference between the running backs available now and the running backs available in 22 picks?
Not much.
It's almost nothing.
Well,
especially
who is it?
Since there'll be a big run. Most likely, as we tend to see in the round 4 range, on receivers, quarterbacks, a couple more tight ends. So that's to be expected.
So who are the running backs that are available right now that you decided, no, I'd rather have Crabtree and Jordan Reed?
I mean, the guy that I debated was Joe Mixon, but I don't want to take him this early because I think he's going to be fantastic in Cincinnati. But I do think he's going to be fantastic in Cincinnati, but I think it's just too soon to draft him here ahead of, again, another starter. These guys are still starters for my team. It doesn't have to just be, I have to pick a running back because I need a running back. I need to pick starters. And so Michael Crabtree is a flex.
Uh-huh.
He's a guy that I would have taken if Allen Robinson wasn't there with the pick at team number 9 at 33 overall. So I would have considered a quarterback here in Rodgers or Brady. And Jordan Reed, I think, as we talked about, he's going to be the the focal point, or at least the go-to guy, according to Jay Gruden, of the Redskins offense, and Kirk Cousins and Reed, along with Crowder, that's the guys he has the best rapport with.
So let's go to round four. This will be the last one of this podcast. This will be part one. Part two we'll do. We're actually going to record right after this, but we'll air it later this week. We're also going to do a mailbag show. We'll actually have three shows for you this week. Show three will be a mailbag plus wedding toasts. So round four begins with Jordan Reed, and that team that Jamie drafted has Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, Michael Crabtree, and Jordan Reed. Team 11 is Heath's team. Heath's team has T.Y. Hilton, Devontae Freeman, and Travis Kelce. Only one running back, only one wide receiver, one tight end. What's it going to be, Heath, with Hilton, Freeman, and Kelce?
Well, I just hinted at it. I think probably, at least for the point of making this a realistic draft for other people, need to start taking some quarterbacks at some point. So I'll take Tom Brady, the second pick of the fourth round. And this is not something I do a lot, where I take a tight end and a quarterback in the first four rounds.
You've got one of each. You got a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end.
I got it. And if Tom Brady / Aaron Rodgers fall to the fourth round, I'm going to take them pretty much every time.
Okay. Team 10 is Dave's. Melvin Gordon, Michael Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, and...
And I'm following in Heath's footsteps. I took Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers is my number one quarterback. Brady's my number two. The debate was Aaron Rodgers versus Golden Tate. That's not much of a debate. I just think that Aaron Rodgers, too good at his position. Golden Tate, maybe in full point PPR, maybe you give him a look ahead of Aaron Rodgers, but I'm taking Rodgers. I know he's a stud for my team. He will make up whatever points I miss out on for not taking Golden Tate or Julian Edelman or whoever else is there, running back or receiver at, what is this, 39th overall? Aaron Rodgers is worthy of being a top 40 pick in a fantasy draft, I'd say.
Melvin Gordon, Michael Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, Aaron Rodgers. I think I kind of love Team 10.
I know I do.
Big fan. Jamie has the next pick with Team 9. And I just want to point out that we are clearly reaching a point, as Jamie mentioned, with Team 12, where he took Michael Crabtree and Jordan Reed at the swing of 3 and 4, where these guys, Dave, Jamie, and Heath, are just not reaching for running backs right now. They don't see the value, so they're not doing it. All right, Team 9, Jamie, you have LeSean McCoy, Jordan Howard. Definitely don't need to reach running backs for this team. LeSean McCoy, Jordan Howard, Allen Robinson, and Golden Tate. Oh, sorry, and who, Jamie?
Well, it goes back to what we, you know, talked about. When I said I was taking Jordan Howard in the second round, even though letting go of a receiver there after starting with LeSean McCoy, is because I said to you, I know the receivers that'll be in this range. And this is kind of what I think you don't have to necessarily fear about starting your team with running back.
Sure.
If you like Jordan Howard, if you like DeMarco Murray, if you like Jay Ajayi, Leonard Fournette, or Todd Gurley, and you want to take those guys in the second round after taking your running back in the first round. So Allen Robinson, a little bit of a steal in the third round. Golden Tate is in this range in the fourth round. And so, you know, you can, Dave listed off the receivers that were on the board, Tate, Allen, Edelman, Brandon Cooks. You know, I think those four guys are certainly in the discussion. But Golden Tate, three straight years of 90 catches, two of the last three over 1,000 yards, two of the last three with six touchdowns. So there's a lot to like about him. And I think the Lions realized last year that after week five, when they were struggling a little bit with their passing game, aside from the big 200-yard game that Marvin Jones had, hey, we have Golden Tate. Let's feature him a little bit more. And you look at his production from week six on, if he gets that for 16 games again without the really year and a half of using him, when I say year and a half of that point last year to a full season this year without Calvin Johnson, he's their best receiver, and it's not close. So Golden Tate in any PPR scoring is a star.
Okay, McCoy, Jordan Howard, Allen Robinson, Golden Tate for Team 9. We'll finish up round four, like I mentioned, and then we'll do our next podcast with the remaining rounds. Team 8 is A.J. Green in round 1, Amari Cooper in round 2. Heath took Christian McCaffrey in round 3. So you have one running back, McCaffrey, and you have A.J. Green and Amari Cooper. So what's pick 4 for Team 8?
And there's no reason to reach for another running back here. We've talked about that enough. I know the concerns about Keenan Allen and injury history, but I'm going to read you a tweet that I sent this morning. These are the 16-game averages for these receivers. Keenan Allen, 93 catches, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. Sammy Watkins, 66 catches, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. Alshon Jeffrey, 77 catches, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Is that based on last year?
That's 16-game averages for their career. If you take their whole career, divide the games
find
played.
Find the average for per game and then multiply that by 16.
Exactly. Now, the argument against using a 16-game average for Keenan Allen is, well, he never plays 16 games. Well, neither does Sammy Watkins or Alshon Jeffrey. They're all three injury-prone wide receivers with huge upside. And so I'm thrilled with taking Allen in the fourth.
The problem with Allen, though, is company. He got a lot of it since he's gotten hurt. When he went down in week one last year, he was the guy, not close.
Tyrell Williams only became something, though, because he got hurt.
But he's still a player. And they're not taking him off the field. And
they have always played with other receivers on the field. He's just not Keenan Allen.
And
Keenan Allen's
weren't good. And Tyrell Williams showed last year that he's good. And Mike Williams in college showed that he's good, which is why they spent a first-round pick on a player that they had no need for whatsoever.
Right. If Mike Williams can get on the field, then he might be in it.
Sure. Keenan Allen's in a good spot right now. But Mike Williams, if he's healthy, will impact Keenan Allen. Agree or disagree?
I don't know that he will, no.
He's not going to impact him at all.
I don't know that he'll have an impact on him, no.
So, okay, Keenan Allen's targets are staying exactly the same.
He's never had, he's had, 120 targets as his max in his career. So he doesn't need 160 targets to be good.
Also, no Danny Woodhead. So there are some targets to go around.
But Melvin Gordon's been a 30-plus catch guy for the 2 years that he's been in the NFL.
Yeah, but Danny Woodhead could be an 80-plus catch guy.
Right, so that goes to also, you have two tight ends you have to feature. For the most part, they only had one.
Two tight ends, I don't know if he's a feature Antonio Gates.
You're not
anymore.
Featuring Antonio Gates
no,
in the red zone?
No, I'm in the red zone, but that doesn't mean that you're going to lose.
He gets, what, 70 targets this year?
And the other guy is getting how many?
Henry?
Yeah.
75, 80?
Okay, so there's 150.
That's pretty close to how many times they've thrown it to their tight end in the past.
What's Mike Williams getting?
150 is going to be like 25% of what Phillip Rivers throws.
Mike Williams, I would
You'd
guess he gets
the same range?
70, 70, 75, okay. So 220.
220. Tyrell Williams getting what?
80?
That's it?
So now we're at half of Phillip Rivers' targets.
Okay, give him 100.
Okay.
Now we're over the halfway mark.
Melvin Gordon gets 50 targets?
I'd go higher.
I'd go higher, too.
Come on. My apologies, but I do want
to... He's good. He's just not as good as he was when he left the field.
I think we've seen the best from him. I'm worried about
him still
being...
But why is that different with Keenan Allen than it is with Sammy Watkins?
Sammy Watkins has who around him?
I understand, but he has Tyrod Taylor compared to Phillip Rivers.
Everything that those other guys are doing in San Diego.
But Phillip Rivers got through 100 less passes than Phillip Rivers this year.
I think,
of course.
Keith, I think your argument is good if we're comparing Keenan Allen to Alshon Jeffrey. Because I think both of those...
But even then, that's a more crowded receiving corps.
It is.
All right, listen, guys, we have to get through this. Well. We have to get through this because actually we have a time limit today. So Keenan Allen was the fifth pick of round four, and the next pick of round four, I'm all thrown off, Mike Evans, this is a Dave team, Mike Evans, DeMarco Murray, Isaiah Crowell, and round four?
I'm settling for Julian Edelman. Who I don't think will be as good as he was last year, but will still get plenty of targets in that crowded offense.
You like him better than Cooks?
I do. In a half point PPR, I do.
Interesting.
In a standard, no.
In a full PPR, I would take Edelman. I think in half, I'd still lean Cooks.
Okay. Yeah, I'd take Cooks in both.
Evans, Murray, Crowell, and Edelman. So that's two receivers, two running backs, balanced team for Team 7. Team 6.
Adam, what did we see with Edelman's targets when it was Gronk healthy? It was like 11.5 per game,
man.
When Gronk was out. And 7.5 when Gronk was in?
It was a huge difference.
Yeah, it was four target difference. And now you're adding Cooks to the mix? I don't want any part of Edelman in the first round.
Yeah, I think both these guys are being overdrafted.
Yep.
Okay. So Team 6 is Jamie's, Beckham, Gronk, Jarvis Landry, and?
Joe Mixon. I think round 4 is a great spot for him. Gio, who knows when he's going to be ready to start the season coming off of the ACL injury. Joe Mixon had 65 catches in college, 37 last year. He's going to be a big factor for them in their passing game, and he is going to tell Jeremy Hill to sit on the bench where he belongs. So Jeremy Hill did a great job scoring touchdowns. This team actually does a very good job scoring rushing touchdowns, and Mixon will be a big part of that as well. I think he could easily be the rookie of the year. Would not be surprised at all.
So that's a Beckham, Gronk, Landry, Joe Mixon team, and that's right in the middle. That's the sixth pick. And, you know, a lot of people were taking Mixon in our drafts, taking Mixon where you took Landry in round 3. You got him a round later, round 4, so that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Team 5 is Heath's, Julio Jones, Doug Baldwin, and this was the team that was lucky to get Lamar Miller to fall with the fifth pick of round 3. Now we're on the seventh pick of round 4, or is the eighth, whatever the heck it is.
We'll save some time here. It's safe, it's boring, it's easy. Greg Olson.
Okay. So no running backs or receivers that really jumped off the page at you.
That's when you take Greg Olson.
Team 4 is Dave's team. Antonio Brown, Fournette, Terrell Pryor, and?
And I took Brandon Cooks. it was a close call between him and either Mark Ingram or Mike Gillisley. I'm assuming that I'll like a running back in round five. Maybe Ingram or Gillisley make it back to me in round five. And I fortify the receiving core. I've got Brown, I've got Pryor, I've got Cooks. All three of those players will start for me. You throw in Leonard Fournette, I think that's a real nice start.
Okay. What I want to know is, well, we're done with this episode, how many teams have three wide receivers through four picks?
I will let you know.
Team three is on the clock. This is Jamie, Ezekiel Elliott, Jay Ajayi, Sammy Watkins in round three. So Elliott, Ajayi, Watkins, and who's in round four?
I don't love Larry Fitzgerald at 34 years old, but 100 catches each of the last 2 years, over 1,000 yards each of the last 2 years, 6 touchdowns each of the last 2 years. He's much better in any PPR format than standard. And so while the Cardinals should have an upgraded wide receiver core with a healthy John Brown, as well as hopefully J.J. Nelson taking another step, and the addition of rookie Chad Williams, I still think Fitzgerald's the go-to guy for Carson Palmer. He's going to be around 100 catches again, so hard to overlook him in this scoring format, and gives me a little bit stability at the receiving core if Watkins, for whatever reason, does not stay healthy.
Okay, that's an interesting, but I don't like that. I don't know, Fitzgerald.
I know you don't like Larry Fitzgerald. You like Michael Floyd.
I love Michael Floyd. All right, team.
I took his teammate next, and all right, well, let me read the team. Younger
let me
Larry
read the team. David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Todd Gurley. This was a team we were sort of wishy-washy on. Who's the fourth round pick for this squad?
You were wishy-washy on it.
Yeah, well, because wishy-washy on it comparing it to another team that's just as good.
No, you said you liked Team 5 better, Heath, than Team
right.
2.
Well, I love Team 5.
Oh, okay.
I took Stephon Diggs. There's some concerns with his health. Think he'll be a target monster, even better in PPR, but the half-point PPR gives him a boost to where he's a solid number two.
Okay. And finally, to finish off round four, Dave had Le'Veon Bell with the first pick. Then he went receiver, Davante Adams, and Demaryius Thomas. So at this swing pick here, rounds four and five, you got one running back, two receivers. Who do you take with those back-to-back picks?
With the back-to-back picks, I make Heath's fears from round two and three realized when I take two running backs. I see how thin the running back position is getting. I want to load up. I don't necessarily love any of the wide receivers that are left. So I double dip at running back and I get Mark Ingram and Mike Gillisley to round out my team.
Okay. So Bell, Adams, Demaryius, Ingram, and Gillisley. How do you feel about that?
I like it. I think I've got, I definitely have four starting lineup spots filled. I would lean toward five if it really just depends on who else I get later on in the draft. But Le'Veon, no-brainer. Devontae, no-brainer. Demaryius, no-brainer. Between Ingram and Gillisley, one of those guys will start for me every week. It might end up being Gillisley more than Ingram. But I don't mind Ingram as a low-end number two running back or a flex to begin the year. I think he'll still have a nice role in that New Orleans offense.
I love Ingram in this situation where you can get three starting running backs.
Right.
I feel really nervous about taking
That's
Ingram,
why I
but
couldn't
I don't have
take
a good
him.
Backup.
It's why I couldn't take him. Where I took Brandon Cooks. We can remember the team. Yeah. It was the team four. I had Brown, Fournette, and Pryor. I thought about taking Ingram there just to have two running backs and two wide receivers, and then I'm open to do whatever I want in round five. But I couldn't do it because I was nervous about what would be left for me at running back, not just round five, because I might not take a running back then, but round six and round seven and so on. So I just chucked it then. It's much easier to take Ingram there. And now I'm looking at that round nine pick I have. Maybe the last pick of round eight, round nine, it's going to be the same thing. No, it's not. Seven and eight will go together. I might have to earmark that pick in round eight as an Adrian Peterson pick.
All right. To go with Mark Ingram in round five. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Fantasy Football Today. We will finish this draft in our next episode. We'll talk to you then.